And so I do love this fall season. It's the time when all of these different things are kicking off, and we are going to continue in our three-week series on abounding faith. Just before we do, I have an announcement that I'd like to make. One of our very faithful folks who's been in our congregation for many, many years has went to be with Jesus, Edna Beckloff, just last night passed away. And so I want to pray for the Beckloff family. Also would like to pray for those who've been affected by this tragedy. And so would you stand with me, please? We're just going to ask the Lord to be with those who've been bereaved. Father, we have so much to give you thanks for. We have so many things that you have provided for us. And we want to pray, Father, for those who've been affected by this Hurricane Dorian. And I want to thank you, Lord, for agencies like ERTO, like the Samaritan's Purse, for Christians who bring responses today. And as we stand in this beautiful building, I'm reminded of the, as I was looking online, the church building that I saw in the Bahamas that's kind of almost completely destroyed. And inside the building, you can see pews and clothes and water and people in need. Lord, we just ask that out of this tragedy that you would come forward. And I pray for the people that are going, Lord, that you would make them a rich blessing. We pray for the Beckloff family as Edna went home to be with the Lord, that you would comfort her. Also for Dr. Lillian Douglas, who has her twin brother has passed away. And so, God, I want to thank you that you're the God that provides for all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray today that you would just be with us as we continue the series on abounding faith. I'm asking the Spirit of God that faith would rise in our hearts for the glory of God. And everybody said together, amen. You may be seated. And thanks for praying for me as well. I'm going to be going for a few days to Ontario for some ERTO meetings. And so pastors will be here to serve you in the days that I'm away over Wednesday. And then I'll be back certainly for the weekend. Second in our series of abounding faith believes. And we know that the scriptures say that if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, we would have no hope. If Jesus was just somebody who claimed to talk for God or claimed to come from God, like many people have, then we would really have no hope. But in fact, Jesus Christ is the only one who was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one who was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus Christ is the only one who is the Son of God. And so even as people would say, well, it doesn't matter if you pray or how you pray because there's only one God. It's true that there's only one God, but there's only one God who's been revealed to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who is able to come and to be the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ is the only one who was able to die on the cross for our sins, and thank God that Jesus Christ is alive. Of course, the disciples, when they walked with Jesus before he went to the cross and they saw him doing all of the amazing things that he did, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then that prayer that we're familiar with was given to us, the Lord's Prayer. And following the Lord's Prayer, then the disciples, because they had seen Jesus doing all of these things, he was healing the sick, he was raising the dead, he was showing himself to be the Son of Almighty God. Then Jesus, telling them more about prayer, tells them this story. And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 11. In the Blue Pew Bible in front of you, it's on page 793. And so can you just take, if you don't have a Bible with you, just take that Bible and turn to page 793, please. And I'm going to read this story that we are familiar with that follows the Lord's Prayer. And I would appreciate it if you would stand with me as we read from the Word of God this morning, please. Luke chapter 11, we're going to begin at verse 5, and I'd like us to read the story together out loud. Luke 11, starting at verse 5, let's read it in concert together, please. Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed, I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And now, Father, as we continue in this series of abounding faith, last week we looked at faith as something that is conceived. It doesn't come from us. It's something that comes from God. But there's a period of conception. And Lord, I want to pray that as we now look at abounding faith, believing God, as we understand that we need to not only dream about what God has placed in our hearts, but we need to believe it if we're going to know it to come to pass. I ask that Spirit of God, now from this story where the disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. God, we would say, teach us to pray this morning. And I want to thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And the church said together, please be seated. Thank you. So we talked about faith being something that God gives us, that conceives in us, that God plants in our hearts. But what do we do with that? What do we do with those promises? What do we do with those things that God has purposed for us, that he's purposed for our lives, that he's placed within our hearts? They're not just going to happen. We have to take some action. And so today we're talking about abounding faith that believes. And of course, it's faith in Jesus Christ. First of all, believing trusts God to supply. Believing trusts God to supply. You see, the kind of things that God wants to do through us, although we're involved, they're not just in us. They're because they're from God, it trusts God to bring forth the supply. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight. Please say midnight and circle that in your notes, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. Now, obviously, this person didn't know his friend was coming. It wasn't like the friend had scheduled an appointment. It wasn't like the friend told him, I'm going to be coming to your house. If he would have, he would have been prepared. He would have had something to serve this person. He would have had, you know, the room ready. He would have made preparations. The house probably would have been a little cleaner than normal if he knew that his friend was coming. But I want you to understand that the midnight hour happens in all of our lives. And midnight is a time where it's dark. Midnight is a time where you probably don't want to be out walking alone. Midnight is a time that can actually bring forth a little bit of fear if you are walking alone and all of a sudden you hear a noise or something and you walk a little faster and you think somebody's behind you and you look behind you. He went to a friend's house at midnight, believing, trusts God to supply, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You see, in all of our hours of life, and especially in the midnight hours, we need to remember that Jesus asked us to pray, give us today our daily right. And so every day, God will give us what we need. But believing, the kind of faith that is required for an abounding faith in our lives, trusts God to supply. And here's the interesting thing about the supply river, if you will, that comes from the throne room of heaven. Here's the interesting thing about the abundant supply that God pours into our hearts as believers. God's provision in our lives is for others. God's provision in our lives is for others. Can that slide advance? Or is it stuck? All right, we're going to try to get that to move. And that's what separates God's provision from selfish provision. You see, when we're concerned about ourselves, we're just providing for ourselves. We're just getting for ourselves. But when God supplies us, it's a provision that is for others. You know the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember the Good Samaritan when the man was trying to justify himself, and he said, "This, well, who's my neighbor?" And then that story, there had been a priest that had passed by and a temple worker that had passed by, and this man was lying dead on the side of the road. Who's my neighbor? And so Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, Samaritans were despised in the eyes of the Jewish people, but he talks about the Samaritan who went and he bandaged up the man's wounds. And so believing, trust God to supply, and God's provision in our lives is for others. He says in verse 6, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And so when God puts something in our hearts, and when God begins to provide for us, we understand that his provision is for others. The second thing about God's supply is that God's purpose in our lives is bigger than ourselves. So it's bigger just than my needs, and it's even bigger than my own family's needs. He calls out as this man comes to the friend's house, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you." And so it's interesting, this man, of course, when he came out at midnight, he would have seen, as he looked up and down the street, that none of his neighbors were up. And so he kind of probably picked his closest friend. And he must have had second thoughts walking up the driveway, knowing that they were not up. And perhaps he began to knock, and nobody answered. But then he persisted. And the answer that he gets back is "Don't bother me, because I'm asleep, and my kids are all in bed." And so here's the picture. If this friend was to help his friend, it was not only going to bother his life, but it was going to bother his family. He was going to have to get up. He was going to have to step up. And maybe in his getting up and in his turning on the lights, maybe his family would have been woken up. So God's purpose in our lives is bigger than ourselves. But when we understand that believing God trusts him to supply, and his provision is for others, and his purpose is bigger than ourselves, the neat thing is that when we begin to actually live our lives like that, God's plan is for our lives to overflow. God's plan is not for our lives just to make it, not that we might just get by, but even in the midnight hours of our lives, God's plan is for our lives to overflow. And verse 8 says this, "Though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and he'll give you whatever you need, because of your shameless persistence." So believing, first of all, trusts God to supply. The second thing we see about an abounding faith that believes is this. Believing sees that there is nothing in self. Verse 9 says this, "And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for." Now, these verbs that we're looking at, ask, seek, and knock, are in the emphatic. And it says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. And then it says this a little bit later in the text. Everyone, would you please say everyone? Everyone who asks receives. God has said, everyone who asks is going to receive. Everyone who asks and keeps on asking is going to receive what they are asking for. And so believing sees that there is nothing in self. There's absolutely nothing in self. Now, the very fact of asking implies that we need God. If we're going to ask, it actually implies that we need something from God. You'll remember the story of the two men who went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, one was a religious man, and one was a tax collector. And you'll remember that the Pharisee, when he saw this sinner in the temple, he said to God, he said, "I'm so glad that I'm not like this sinner. I'm so glad that I'm better than he is. I mean, I pray all the time, and I give a tithe of my money, and I fast, and I do good works. I'm glad that I'm not like him." He wasn't asking God for much, was he? But that sinner in the temple said, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. And you remember the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Didn't he say that prayer like this? "Forgive me my, as I forgive those who sin against me." And so asking implies that we need God. And so we see that God teaches us that absolutely no one can measure up to God's holiness. There's no one anywhere on the earth that can measure up to God's holiness. That's why Christ died on the cross. Romans 3 puts it like this: "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus our Lord." So we see that that faith that God gives, that believes, that asks, asking implies that we need. It tells us that no one can measure up to God's holiness. And it shows us that God has raised us up to walk in a newness of life. We've come from death to life. We've come from darkness to light. The writer of Romans puts it like this: "We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. And so we're no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin." The third thing that we see about our faith when we are asking God is that asking nullifies our fears. You know, when you're out at midnight and if you hear a noise, like I mentioned, or if you're walking in a place, all of a sudden there can be a fear that comes over your heart. And fear in our lives as believers is the enemy of faith. Fear is that which will just take the promises that God has for us and want to put a wet blanket over them. But when we ask and we keep on asking, it nullifies our fears. That word nullify, it means to annul. It means to render invalid. It means to deprive of force. Jesus put it, when Paul was writing from jail in Philippians, he put it like this: "Don't worry about," what does it say? "Don't worry about." Now I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody here who, like me, sometimes when there's a midnight hour, or sometimes when there's something fearful that all of a sudden comes upon my life, or something I wasn't expecting, is there anybody here who, like me at times, sometimes is tempted to fear? Oh, good, I'm not the only one. I want you to know that when you ask and when you keep on asking, that asking nullifies our fears. When you keep on trusting. So don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. You know, when you're fearful in your heart, begin to think about the good things that God has done for you. When you're fearful in your life, begin to think about the prayers that God has answered for you. Third thing that we see as we talk about believing faith is that believing secures God for the answer. Keep on seeking and you will find. And again, these are emphatic verbs: ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking. You know, because everyone who seeks will find. It's interesting that there's the asking part, but this seeking, it's an acting part. So you don't just ask, but there's something you need to do. If you're going to get into that safe, like you're gonna need to do something to get that combination to move. And so seeking is asking plus acting. How is it that we secure God for the answer as children of God? Well, first of all, we find life by searching the scriptures. And I was so glad today to see some of our life groups that were here talking about what takes place every Sunday morning here at SPA from 9:15 until 10:15. We have what's called Sunday Morning Alive. And it's a place, I mean, I picked a children's group here in this picture, because here's what will happen. At 9:15 to 10:15, children and adults are going to learn the stories of the Bible. And there's power in learning the stories of the Bible. So we secure God's blessing by searching the scriptures. Paul commented about some people that did that. It said the people of Berea, they were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were telling them the truth. The other thing that secures God's blessing is we grow by participating in the services. I once saw a church sign, like I think I may have even put it up once or twice over the years, right on our sign out here, because we usually have a sign early in the week that is to draw people in or to encourage them. But here's what this sign that I perhaps have used said about church. Church is not serve us, S-E-R-V-U-S, but church is about service. And we grow by participating in the services. Now, I want you to know that I'm so thrilled that you're here this morning. And I'm so thrilled that you chose to come into a place where you're going to be able to worship God and you're going to hear from God and you're going to be encouraged by other people who are following God. But I want you to know that God's given you gifts. And the way that we grow is by participating, by using the gifts that God has given to us. I had seen an individual on our first family night dinner that we had this past Wednesday, and I was shocked. I went to the family night dinner and I went to the table to pay, and I asked the people who were collecting the money. I said, "Is it still only a dollar for a dinner?" And they said, "Yes, we still have dinner for a dollar on family night." And so I was seeing a person in the foyer that I knew after the family night dinner. They were new to this place. And so I just went up to this person and I simply extended my hand and I said, "How can I help you? There's some people out in the foyer today that are after our ushering team and our greeting team. I'm so thankful for our ushering and greeting and those that work in the Welcome Center. Can we give them a hand, please? Because they are some of our first people that people contact with." But you know, when the church services are going on right now we have a group of people that are out in the foyer so that if somebody comes in now, there will actually be somebody there to say, "Hi, can I help you? Hi, can I serve you?" And I want you to know that our prayer as pastors and as a leadership team is that you will take the gifts that God has given to you and find a place in God's work to serve. We're praying that you'll have a major ministry, which is serving once a week, and a minor ministry, which would be a seasonal ministry, perhaps serving in children's ministry in the nursery or teaching a class or serving somewhere perhaps in our musical ministry that's a seasonal thing. But we want you to take the gifts that God has given to you, and this is how you grow. You grow by serving with the gifts that God has placed on your heart. So let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but let us encourage one another, and especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And we glorify God by loving the saints. We glorify God by loving one another. The text says this: always be humble and always be gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Ephesians 4, chapter 3 and 4. And on your bulletin, actually, you'll see this phrase, and I'd like you to say it out loud with me. You know, I'm so happy with some of the changes that we're making in our church building. I love the way that our church lights up at night. I don't know if you've noticed it, but if you're even at the LRT station, you can see the cross and the lights and, you know, our church title, Southside Pentecostal Assembly, our logo, Spa for Life. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But as beautiful as our church building is, I want you to know something. You're the church. You are the church. You are the ones that God is using to bring his kingdom to earth. And this is our job. Can we say it together? We want to be those who are loving God and leading people to the living Lord. Lord, help us to do that. The fourth thing that we see about believing is that believing sees the glory of God. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened unto you. And again, all of these verbs are emphatic. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And if you keep on knocking, the door will be open to you, because to everyone who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. And everybody said, thanks, because my knuckles are kind of sore. And there is some soreness to doing the will of God, to persevering in the will of God, to continuing to do the things that God has called you to do. But believing sees the glory of God. How are we going to see the glory of God? How are we going to see God's doors open for us in our own lives personally as Christians, in our families and in our homes? How are we going to see the glory of God open as a church? And how are we going to see the glory of God effective as we strive together to serve him? Well, I'll tell you, first of all, if we're going to see that, God is calling us to pray continually. We're to be those who pray and keep on praying. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. And there was the story of the persistent widow in Luke 18. But I'm so thankful. We have about 80 people that are a part of these all-night prayer meetings, and we're having our first all-night prayer meeting, our first 11-7. Do me a favor. Has anybody ever seen the 7-Eleven store? Every time you see 7-Eleven, I want you to think 11-7. Yeah, and we're having our first 11-7 prayer meeting. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. And I'm thankful for these 80 people that are gathering. And every hour, we pray for a different topic. And I'll be announcing those topics next week, what we're going to be praying for. And I want to encourage you, if you can come for 1 hour or two, and I mean, there's some that come for the whole night. We're going to see the glory of God as we continue to pray. How else will we see the glory of God and believe? Well, God is calling us to place our confidence in his word. The Bible says that all of the promises of God for you in his word are yes, and the amen is spoken to you in Jesus. So, let's rejoice in our confident hope. Let's be patient in trouble. And Romans 12:12 says, let's keep on praying. How else will we see the glory of God? Well, we'll see the glory by understanding that God is calling us to convey the greatness of his works. It's interesting that Jesus tells this story about prayer, and then he talks about a need and a midnight hour and you meeting needs by his provision. But then this is how he ends the story. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't it interesting that Jesus closes off this story about teach us more about prayer by telling us as believers what our greatest need is? Our greatest need is that we would have more of the Holy Spirit individually. Our greatest need is that we would have more of the Holy Spirit corporately. I'm really hoping that next week, as we have our first pipeline service, and we're also having a water baptismal service. By the way, if you're here and you're a believer in Jesus, but you've never followed the Lord in water baptism, you can sign up for that, and we would love to walk with you through that obedience. But next Sunday evening, I'm going to be having our first pipeline service. In Alberta, we know what the pipeline is. It's a conduit for oil. And we know that in Alberta, that conduit for oil has brought us many blessings. But the oil that I'm referring to when I say pipeline is the oil of the person and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And next Sunday night, I'm going to be preaching a message called Wait. Does anyone like waiting? Do you know what? If we don't wait, we're not going to receive. If we don't wait and ask and hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will not be filled. So I'm excited next Sunday to have this pipeline service. It'll be a time where we can wait on God, where people can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where people can come into a fullness of overflowing in the Holy Spirit. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, I mean, they said, teach us to pray. This is the answer. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and keep on asking, to those who knock and keep on knocking, to those who seek and keep on seeking? Because do you know what God is doing to you and to me and to all of us who are in the church? God's calling us to complete his mission. God is calling us to complete his mission. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Listen, God is calling you to complete his mission. God isn't calling you to get kind of halfway through and let up. No, God is calling you to complete his mission. And so those things that God has put in your heart, those things that you've conceived by faith, God wants you now to believe. And any of my board members that are free, I want you to come and join me right here at the front. And Pastor Carson and Kyle, you come. Can I? What have you got in your hand? Can I see that? Can you see this? You see that? Do you see what's in there? How many can see what's in there? I mean, there's literally, there's hundreds in here. Hundreds, absolutely hundreds. If you know what they are, they're seeds. They're small seeds. In fact, they're mustard seeds. We're talking today about abounding faith that believes. Does anybody have a seed yet? Did anybody get a seed in their hand? Bernie, can I have one seed? I want you to hand. Now, you're going to hand people one seed. I want one seed in my hand. Give me one. Wow, is it there? This is a mustard seed. Abounding faith believes. What are the things that God has placed in your heart? What things has God conceived in you? Abounding faith keeps believing. It asks. It asks. It asks, and it asks, and it keeps on asking. It understands that we have to ask because we don't have it in ourselves to make it happen. It seeks, and in seeking, it secures God. It's asking plus acting. And I'm going to give you an opportunity as we sing this closing chorus because I want to pray over you. We're not going to have an altar call where we minister here and stay. That's going to happen next week as we talk about abounding faith receiving. But if you have something in your heart this morning that God has placed there, now this is a chance for you to continue to believe because there's something God is calling you to do. It secures God. It sees the glory of God by not only asking and keeping on asking, but not only seeking and keeping on seeking, but by knocking and keeping on knocking. That's asking plus acting plus acquiring. I want you to stand with me, please. And in these next moments that we have, I can tell you there's no power in this little seed. There's no power in this little seed, but we've prayed over these seeds. And I want to tell you that these board members are men of faith. And this is the place of faith. And so this is what I want you to do. If there's something in your heart that you're trusting Jesus for, that God's placed in there, this is now, so you've understood that last week. Now, you're just believing. And what this is, as you come and you receive this seed, and I want you to take it. I've done this a few times in the time that I've been here. I know that some people, they've planted that seed, and like I said last week, the dream has to die, and then it will bring forth fruit. Okay? Some people have planted that and brought me in a plant. And do you know what Jesus said? Even though the mustard seed is the smallest of seeds, even though it's the smallest of seeds, it will sprout forth into the largest of plants where people can come and find shelter. And so, board members, I just want you to stand back so people can come to you. Yeah, just stand right back. And as we begin to sing this song, you're coming in. This is the touch point of faith. You come and receive your seed. Just go back to your seat as we're singing.